I'm sitting here with Val Roenfeldt. The way we were celebrating our community is the program. Val, can you please share with us some of your earliest childhood memories?
Right. Well, I was born into the Bethany settlement, which has a lot of history at Bethany there. And I have many, many happy memories growing up there. I grew up on a farm, went to school there, went to Saturday school. I got confirmed there. I got married there. So I have a lot of memories there. What I can remember mostly that, you know, there was always food on the table, there was always clothes, there was never a day where you wouldn't be able to help people, your family or your neighbours. And I loved growing up on the farm because at my age now, I can really appreciate what I was taught, you know, with cooking, growing veggies and sharing with the neighbours and the aunties and uncles that lived at Bethany. And I really value all those things that were passed down on me. And I think the highlights going to school was the yearly picnic at Bethany Reserve. We'd had a little fife band and we'd march down, banner and all, and the day before we'd go down and decorate the shed and sit there and have a scrumptious lunch. And Christmas, you know, the Christmas tree and the bags of lollies and then we'd go to church and then get home and see what was there Father Christmas left for us, and family, you know, would come together and we'd have a meal and something to eat and drink, and people would all join in. And but growing up in the valley, you know, we have the four seasons. I think winter was the hardest for me. Being on a farm, there was always a lot of mud because we had cows and I did milk some of them for years and years. But look, it didn't hurt us. We coped, we managed, you know, and I think there was always a lot of respect. If we were asked to do something, we did it. You know, we didn't say we can't do it. And I learned how to dress poultry, you know. That was quite an eventful time when they showed me how to do that. But, yeah, we did it and we were taught how to do things. So it was, when I think back, you know, they were good happy times. And the dill cucumbers, I was shown how to do dill cucumbers and I still do dill cucumbers to this day. And sour cabbage, the sauerkraut. My mum taught me how to do that, and that's become very popular now in restaurants. And
which house did you live in? Did you grow up in?
Two doors up from the church.
Do you know what number that was?
No, there were no numbers in those days, no. Dear.
What did it look like?
It's just a cream brick place, and they've got sheds, and they've pull down the straw sheds, and you know, it's all modernised now for, you know, the equipment that they have. And
can you describe things that the family would do together, maybe as entertainment?
Well, we used to always get together for birthdays, and Christmas Eve was always quite a big thing. We always got together at Christmas Eve with the brothers and sisters that were around. Some were living away. They weren't always all present. So, and we used to play cards. Card games were very popular back in those days. And we never did jigsaws. What's the other one? Yeah, there were a few other, you know, childhood games we used to play. But
can you recall the card games? What?
Snap, Euchre, 500, you know, those sorts of games. I think they still play them these days. So,
what year were you born?
1936.
When did you move out of Bethany?
Well, when I married Ian, we lived at Bethany for 6 years, and at the cottage at the Bethany Reserve, and that cottage is still standing, but it's been highly renovated now. 6 years, and I think when I was 27, we moved to Tanunda, in the 50s. We built the house, you know. But I remember as a child when the war was on, we'd hear planes, and I used to get a little bit afraid. I thought the Japs were coming to get us or kill us or do something to us.
What do you recall about that period? Say, do you have any examples of food rationing, bartering?
Yes. There were food tickets, to get the main...
The coupons?
Yeah, the coupons, yeah. You know, if you wanted clothing or if you wanted butter or flour or, you know, some of the essential things. But most of the other things... We had on the farm, we had cows.
Back, we'd been talking about the coupons during World War II.
Yes.
And you mentioned about planes flying over.
Well, we used to hear them, you know, and whatever they were doing, you know. I never asked many questions, you know, why is this happening? And I think my older brothers and sisters, that they would remember more about, you know, because soldiers came here and... And then they even, some people billeted them then around here as well. I say, I don't know a lot about that. No. I wasn't a very inquisitive child. I just did what I was told.
What about, say, things like early vintage festivals, town show days? Can you elaborate on any experiences with those?
Well, I did win a great picking championship one year. Vintage festival. Yeah, that's the highlight of my life. I beat the reigning Hagi family.
What year was that?
I can't remember. Robin and Gail were youngsters. And then I entered again, and then 1 year I got second, and then I got third, so I thought it was time to give up. But they don't do that anymore. You know, you have it. You've given a row of vines to pick, and you have to see who can pick the most grapes and no leaves or sticks in there, you know. So, yeah, I did win that 1 year.
What about dances?
Yeah, they were in the, you know, what's the band hall now? That was called the Lodge Hall. Yeah, we used to go there, and occasionally... The girls would sit on the outside of the hall, and then the boys would stand by the door and eye all the girls up.
How frequent were these events?
I reckon they were nearly weekly. They were very popular because what other entertainment was there? And a lot of us from Bethany would walk up there to that that hall, and then we'd all walk home. Or otherwise it was the picture theatre at Tanunda, which now is the institute there.
Was alcohol banned from the desert?
Yes, but the men, up the road they'd hide bottles, and they all go out and have a drink, and then they'd come back. Where they used to do that.
Okay, so you went to the Bethany School. Can you elaborate on what that was like, and just tell me what year, what years that was, what period?
Well, I went to school. I was born in 1936, and then when I was 6 years old, I went into year one, and I had 7 years there. And we had one teacher, Mr. Obst, and his wife used to teach us girls a little bit of art and craft and sewing, and that was it. And we were all in that one room. And I remember in winter, at the end of the building was a beautiful old fireplace, and he would light that to keep us warm in winter. And in summer, there were two beautiful carob trees in front of the Bethany Church, and we used to sit under there when it was very hot and just do some reading to fill in the day.
Are they still there?
No, they've been removed. It's a long time ago. When Ian and I got married, the carob trees were still there. I think the white ants get into them and they become very unstable over years and years.
This was, you moved into Tanunda in the 50s.
To me, it was like moving from the country into the city. Life was so different. Living at Bethany all those years, because a lot of people around my age were having children or they had children, and the ones that lived at Bethany, well, we'd see them from time to time. But when I lived at Tanunda, I would get more visitors at Tanunda, and then I got involved with the kindergarten and the Lutheran school, and you're bringing back a lot of memories now.
How densely or undensely populated was Bridge Street in the 50s?
Very sparsely. Across the road was the Lutheran home. That was the front, as it is today. That was all set. Well, it's a little bit different. There was no chapel there. There was quite a big building. And next to that was an apricot garden. So there was vineyard, little patches of vineyard. When people wanted to buy land to build, those vineyards and apricot gardens were depleted, you know. Mm. People started building on those blocks. And all that area from Bridge Street to Para Road, that was all vineyard.
Not anymore.
No, not.
That's where we are now, actually.
This would have been vineyard. Yeah, all this would have been vineyard, so, yeah.
Would you travel to the city very often?
No. We used to go to Gawler.
What would you do in Gawler?
Well, we'd go to Gawler, then I had relatives in Adelaide and we'd go and see them, and coming home we'd always buy fish and chips because there was no fish and chip shop in the Barossa.
So that was a regular tradition?
Well, it was sort of, you know, we didn't sort of say, we've got to do this now, we did it last time. You know, it was just when we were visiting people. Mm. But it was a treat for the girls to have fish and chips, and they'd be all wrapped up in newspaper and then they'd start eating on the way before we got home.
When you were growing up, was there any particular songs that really stand out in your mind that this was a real snapshot of my life, or a point in time that I remember very vividly?
Well, I think singing hymns, they meant a lot to me, because back in those days there was no telly, there was only one radio in the house that was just for news and a few cereals, but we weren't always inside, or you just get a bit of news on the radio. But I often remember, because I'm number five in the family. See, when I lived at Bethany, there was only my parents, Rodney and I. The others were all gone already. They were all married. And to entertain myself, I would sit on the bed and go through the hymn book and try and sing in my bedroom. I used to love that. I can remember doing that over and over and over again. Something clicked in my mind that was so precious to me. But any other songs, there were some funny songs and some naughty songs, but they didn't really gel with me, you know. I was too innocent, I think. So.
Can you remember a line or two of any of those songs?
You mean in the hymns? Oh, gosh.
What was your favourite? It's a tough question, I know.
Yeah. Any favourites? There were so many of my favourites, you know. Abide With Me, you know, I hear them sung. A lot of some of the old hymns get sung at very rarely now at funerals. You know, they have a lot of more modern songs. And they really touch my heart because they meant so, you know, there was a lot of meaning in those old hymns. And and the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's My Shepherd and those sort of songs that were sung in different versions, you know, they still grab me, you know, close to my heart. So
it's very personal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When I married Ian, well, I got introduced to brass band music, you know, and then playing hymns there again, you know, they're just got so much meaning and memories. And
when you were growing up, did a lot of people come to the Barossa from outside the region? Did people come to visit?
No, not really. It didn't, you know, I can't really, you know, the Barossa has grown, but it's grown in stages. Back in my day, well, people coming from Adelaide thought that they would see kangaroos hopping around in the Barossa. Where they thought we were out in the bush. Always had that feeling that they, you know, we were only out in the bush. That's what some people used to tell us when they used to come up from Adelaide. Yeah, well, that's so true. You know, they, because my older brothers and sisters had friends in Adelaide and they'd come up and they'd always come and visit Mum and Dad, and they were amazed, you know, that we had all this land out here and it wasn't developed. There were hawkers. They used to scare me. They'd come around hawking materials and Mr. Zardalek in Tanunda, he was a guy from over the seas and he was selling materials. And then there was a man called Mr. Tucker. He used to come and sell linen and towels, you know, go from one to the other. But they were a bit scary, some of these men. They had a different personality.
Were they quite persistent with their pitch?
Yeah, I suppose if you wanted it, you had it, could have it. If you didn't, you know, they'd move on to the next one. So, and the butcher used to always call. We had a butcher at Bethany, and he would deliver call, and we'd always get a piece of Fritz from the butcher. And then the baker from Tanunda, Kowalt's Bakery, used to send one of their sons, Frank Kowalt, to Bethany, and he'd come with a selection of bread and bread in his basket, and he sort of knew what people wanted. So
I suppose people doing the rounds like that would know everyone pretty well,
yeah.
and you'd all be into your favourite types of foods and. So it was pretty easy for them, I suppose, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, they knew.
A couple of this type of loaf for number 32. Oh,
there were no slice. There was no slice bread back then. We had to slice it. And high tops, big high tops. I used to love opening the two high tops together, and then one would belly out a bit, and that would be nice and soft, and then it was lovely to eat just like that. And my mother used to say, "Where's the other half?" I said, "In my tummy." Everyone's got a past. Everyone's on a different journey, you know.
That's good advice.
Everyone's on a different journey. And I value, you know, even though sometimes we thought we had to do work, there was no time, you know, to play time. We always had to be encouraged to be of help in the home, because we had a wood stove. And I remember when they used to bring all the vine sticks home, you know, years ago. Now they chop them up in the middle of the rows, and you'd have to make a little bundle to start the fire in the morning. And, so I remember, you know, we were all expected to go and look for eggs and clean out the bowls where the chooks and the ducks walked through. We had to give them clean water and... But we did it, you know. It was go in the yard where the cows were and get some more manure so we could grow more veggies and flowers. My mum grew a lot of flowers, and Yes.
Can you explain how the Barossa has shaped you as a person growing up here and spending your life here in the Barossa Valley?
Shaped me, okay. Well, in life, you know, everyone has ups and downs. When I needed help, there was always somebody there to help me. And I think it's because of our Christian background. You know, when there's a need, people are there to help you whatever happens to you. And I was told once when I was a widow that I should have got out of the Barossa Valley. I said, why? Oh, you know, you're just... they sort of thought that I could have done better for myself, but I was just doing what comes naturally to me, to helping people, and because I had a lot of aunties that lived at Bethany when I was a youngster, and they would get me to bake for them because their stoves weren't working properly, and they had reimbursed me with food, and but you know, I just value growing up in the valley because there was always someone caring for you. You know, whatever situation you were in, there was always someone there to help you, whether it was family or was it friends or whether it was someone that just saw a need and supplied that need. So I'm very happy to be a true Barossa Valley girl.
Val Roenfelt, thank you so much.